Place of love. That's how I feel it, and that's why I keep showing up. So these talks, I understand, are supposed to be or can be about what's going on in our life right now. What is it that's up for us in our practice? And so I have a good friend who is dealing with a life-threatening illness. He's got stage 4 cancer, and is so I talk to him every couple of days and go visit him when I can. And I've known this man for close to 40 years. He's one of my closest friends, and in our conversations, he expresses a lot of fear at times, fear. And so I try to dig down into that with him as gently and appropriately as possible, because I also have fear in my life. And I'm pretty sure that almost all of us do on some level. And so this looking at the fear has brought a lot of research and questioning. And so some of the research that I've been doing on fear, I've been looking at a lot of the Western scientific understandings of what happens in the body during this fear response. But I'm not that interested in the fear response. We pretty much know that we go into fight or flight. And then not that long ago, a few years ago, they added the freeze response. Well, now they've added a fourth one, faint. So when we're under too much fear, we can freeze, we can fight, we can run, or we can faint. So those are reactions to the fear. But I'm much more interested in what that fear actually comes from. And according to the scientists, fear is a response to threats in the environment, real or perceived. And as we all know, we don't really know what's real. Almost everything we deal with is a perception, our perception. But what the scientists that I've been following, what they believe is that, I'm going to give a little bit of history on some of this stuff that the scientists are talking about. There's been life on this planet, some form of life, they figure about 3.5 billion years. A nervous system within this life on this planet developed about 1.5 billion years ago. Now, the nervous system grew into a system that would allow the organism to perceive threats and do something about it eventually. We grew into one-cell organisms and all that kind of stuff. And then that part of the brain, the hind brain or the reptilian brain, all of this stuff comes up to that part of the brain. When I say that stuff, what I'm referring to is what our nervous system perceives in the outer world as well as in our internal world. All these signals rise to the reptilian brain, and if a threat is perceived, then it rises to our higher brain, the prefrontal cortex, where we try to deal with it through fight, flight, freezing, or fainting. And there are other options, of course. That's what we study in here, and in our practices, we study other options, you know, mindfulness and rationally or spiritually taking a different view. Well, the scientists, they cut it off in the area of conscious awareness. That's not something that they really know very much about. And a lot of these scientists are Buddhists and teachers and all of that. And but in their scientific world, they can't really go there. So what has been identified as fear, they say, is based on four different things. There's fear of death, when the organism is perceives something that rises to the level of mind that we would call fear. It's fear of death. It's fear of suffocation, which was kind of an unusual thing for me to think about. But there's fear of death, suffocation, abandonment, and also fear of pain unbearable pain that we would not be able to endure. So for the brain, the reptilian part of the brain, those are the deepest things that the organism fears. I think that's a little bit of fluff. I think when we get right down to it, the deepest fear of the organism is fear of death, because our ego doesn't want to die. And that's why I'm saying there's that cutoff between the 10,000 things where we all live, the body, the reptilian brain, and our thinking mind and our ego, and that higher part of us that we could call Tao or Dharmakaya, nature of mind, or pure awareness. The names don't really mean much at that point because we can't really conceive of it intellectually anyway. But those are the two levels. And so on this that I see when I look at fear, when we take the higher view, we are able to see that ultimately where we came from and where we truly are, which is in that state of awareness, consciousness, and that's what we hope to taste through our meditations and our lifestyles and stuff like that. So there's that, and when we take that view, which is kind of rare for most of us, then the mind view of the ego and the fear of death and all of that become less scary. And so I've also been looking at how fear arises within the organism known as Van, that I call me. Certainly the organism is part of the whole, and is infused by and driven by that Tao, the Buddha mind, whatever we want to call it. But when my nervous system begins to sense a threat to the organism, it's certainly never really a threat to me, the real me, when the threat to the organism begins, I feel it in my solar plexus. That's where it always hits me. Science has talked about that there's really three brains. There's the the brain that is in our gut. And that was one of the first neural pathways that in the developing organism, I'm talking, I don't know, a billion years ago, but that's where a lot of the feeling comes from, sensations. And then there's the heart. In our teachings in Taoism, Buddhism, it's known as the heart mind, which is the open heart that is connected to pure awareness. And then there's the mind part that helps us navigate this plane of reality, the 10,000 things. And then there's the third mind, which our third brain, which is where all this stuff goes on, that where our thinking mind lives. So when I began to feel something, I feel it in my solar plexus first, usually, if it's this gnawing fear. And I've lived with a gnawing fear all my life. I don't always pay attention to it, but when I do, it's there. Now, back in the 70s, maybe 80s, I don't know, but there was a big movement for men to have their feelings. And a lot of scientists talk about it's a feeling that arises within us. I don't like that word feeling to describe these sensations. I like the word sensation better, because for me, if you have a feeling, it's generally something that we need to name. Oh, how do you feel? Well, I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm this and that. Some Buddhist teachings say that there's 108 feelings in the heart that we, I can name 6 or 8, 10 feelings, perhaps. For the most part, though, it becomes like splitting hairs. So I don't really go, I don't like the word for me, feelings, because when I think about a feeling, I want to name it. I want to identify it. I want to, and then I start having thoughts about it, and I start having emotions about it. So by just cutting that off and going, what is the sensation that I'm perceiving? It helps me not go down the rabbit hole of name it and deal with all that other stuff that I've made up about that name. And it's interesting. I go down a lot of rabbit holes, and my name, Warren, is what they call rabbit holes. So I got a lot of little rabbit holes I go down in my life. This being one of them, my looking at fear. And there's also with my friend and with myself, I look at the difference. I've been looking at the difference between fear and anxiety. Some people say that fear of death, if you know that you're going to die, and we all are going to die, that anxiety is the fear of the future. Fear is a reaction to something that's happening right now. So again, we're into naming. And what's more important to me is, what is the sensation that I am experiencing right now? And when I feel the sensation, that's something I can work with without necessarily naming it, and without taking all the, once I name it, then they're like I say, there's all the thinking and all the emotion and all the beliefs that I built up about what that means. So when I just sit with the sensation, for the most part, these sensations that my mind labels as fear or anxiety, for the most part, it's simply a sensation. And if I sit with it long enough, that sensation I can begin to describe it as sort of a tingling or a tickle or a tension, you know, those, again, I'm naming it. So I just try to sit with the sensation. And when I do that, it becomes much more manageable or much more, I don't run away with my, I don't, the mind does not run away into deeper states of fear and anxiety. Einstein and a lot of smart people, including mystics and whatever, have told us that it's all just energy. Everything in this created universe is just energy, slowed down to different vibrational levels and sound and light. You know, we can tease it all apart into different levels of vibrational fields. And we, the organism, take it in and make sense of it up here. But if it's all energy, then that sensation is also just energy. And when I sit in that, it becomes more curious than alarming to me. I work with people who are dying through Zen hospice programs and other things. You know, the fear of death is the big one, and we all carry it around, as I said earlier. And when it is simply a sensation, that can lead me back to that vast space where all energy is and comes from and infuses the 10,000 things. And my fear lessens. A couple of weeks ago, I was doing some meditation on these concepts. And for the first time in my life, I had a real curiosity, a deep, real curiosity about what happens to me when I die. And the curiosity was much more vivid than any fear. And I liked that. There are certain things that are inevitable, and I'd much rather have a curiosity about the inevitability than to walk around with a lot of fear about it. I'm going to just hang it up there because I don't want to go too long. And if anybody wants to say something, well, I guess now's the time. And thank you for asking me, William, to share what's going on in my life right now.